Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, while Sinn Féin faces an uphill battle as counting continues in the Midlands Northwest constituency, the party thinks they can still secure a seat in Europe. A man has been arrested in Donegal in connection with the murder of a police officer in Northern Ireland. Gardaí are continuing to appeal for information on the whereabouts of a teenager missing from Letterkenny. And the Northern Ireland Assembly has been warned that there can be no repeat of the defective concrete block crisis seen in the Republic in the North. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher. First to news, Social Democrats candidate Rory Hearn has been eliminated after the 12th count in the Midlands Northwest constituency. It's now expected there won't be a final result in Castlebar until Friday. Barry White has more.
It's now 5 days since voters in the Midlands Northwest constituency went to the polls. There's still 9 eliminations to go before a final result, and it's unlikely that any candidate will make the quota. Luke Ming Flanagan, Nina Carberry, Maria Walsh and Barry Cowan all look certain to be elected, while Independent Ireland's Kieran Mullooly is in pole position to win the final seat. He's now over 13,800 votes clear of Sinn Féin's Michelle Gildernew. A final result now isn't expected until Friday, a full week since voters went to the polls. Barry White in Castlebar.
Well, while Sinn Féin faces an uphill battle in securing a seat in Europe, they are not ruling anything out just yet. Sinn Féin spokesperson on fisheries and the marine, Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin, believes it will be a tight battle for the final seat.
We think that it's going to be a very, very close battle with Kieran Mullooly for that last seat. So yeah, we're just going to keep watching the situation in Castlebar, and obviously we're hoping that Michelle Gildernew can be elected for Sinn Féin.
So you believe that Michelle Gildernew is the one that stands the chance of election? I heard some suggesting that Chris McManus might be able to take the seat. It seemed, certainly based on the figures we had yesterday, that Chris McManus was going to be too far behind to make up the ground. But you believe the transfer from Chris McManus to Michelle Gildernew can make that difference?
Yeah, it's going to be very tight. I mean, that was the assessment looking throughout yesterday. That's, you know, whoever gets elected, and we think it's a battle between Michelle Gildernew and Kieran Mullooly for the last seat. Whoever makes it, it's going to be very, very tight. So no, we wouldn't be we wouldn't be saying that we're defeated there now at all. We still think there's a chance, and a very good chance in Ireland South. So, you know, we could end up with 2 or 3 MEPs at the end of this.
A man has been arrested in Donegal in connection with the murder of a police officer in Northern Ireland. The man in his 70s was arrested as part of a cross-border operation on foot of extradition warrants issued. A second man, also in his 70s, was arrested in Meath, and a third man, aged 71, was detained in Dungiven by the PSNI. The arrests are linked to the murder of 25-year-old RUC Constable Robert John McPherson and the attempted murder of a second officer in Dungiven on the 26th of July 1975. The men are due in court today. The next stage in the historical sex offence case against Geoffrey Donaldson will be heard on the 3rd of July. The former DUP leader is charged with rape, gross indecency and 9 counts of indecent assault between 1985 and 2006. He'll appear at Newry Magistrates Court next month alongside his wife Eleanor Donaldson, who's facing accusations of aiding and abetting the alleged offences. Mr Donaldson has previously said he will strenuously contest all charges. Gardaí are continuing to appeal for information on the whereabouts of a teenager missing from Letterkenny. 15-year-old Theo Devaney was last seen in the town yesterday morning. Donal Kavanagh reports.
It's believed that Theo Devaney may have travelled to the Dublin area, and Gardaí and his family are concerned for his welfare. Theo is described as being approximately 5 feet 4 inches in height and of slim build, with black hair, blue eyes and a goatee beard. It's not known what Theo was wearing when last seen. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is asked to contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 074 91 67100, the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111, or any Garda station.
The Northern Ireland Assembly has been warned that there can be no repeat of the defective concrete block crisis seen in the Republic in the North. West-run MLA Daniel McCrossan tabled an amendment to the Defective Premises Bill in the Assembly yesterday. The amendment, he says, would ensure that if deleterious materials similar to what has plagued thousands of homeowners in Donegal are found in properties in Northern Ireland, those impacted will have their case significantly strengthened when pursuing compensation through the courts. Mr. McCrossan says people living along the border live in fear over the lack of support currently available to them.
I'm sure everyone in this Assembly is aware of the horror stories that have emanated from places like Donegal and Mayo and other counties across the island of Ireland concerning the shocking effects of defective building materials. Young families have been left devastated as their homes cracked from bottom to top and leaked water, making them very difficult to live in. And, of course, in some instances, dangerous because they're literally falling down around them. And more mature couples whose life savings have been put into building their dream homes have disappeared overnight. In this instance, there's a huge concern, particularly along border constituencies, that the issues that we have seen play out in Donegal, Mr. Speaker, and other counties across Ireland, will be affecting people here. And I get the sense that there's a reluctance for people to come forward because there's no mechanism to support them. There's no real advice available, actually. And there's a huge amount of fear as a result of what they've seen in Donegal. At some stage, I believe in the not-too-distant future, people will start to come forward, as some already have. Some in my constituency, a young family that have been affected by this, their dreams have been shattered and their house left in a terrible state of disrepair. They don't know where to turn, they can't get advice or support, and they believe that the future looks quite bleak in terms of getting any of that support.
Representatives from the tourism sector have sent a letter to the Taoiseach, a warning against new laws around holiday rentals. The new rules would see registration numbers required for rooms and properties that are rented out to tourists for at least 3 weeks in the year. Holiday rentals, such as those advertised online on Airbnb, will be monitored by Fáilte Ireland. 636 self-catering homes are under threat along the Wild Atlantic Way, including in Donegal. But Taoiseach Simon Harris says the new rules are needed to help provide more long-term rental properties.
I'm sure you would have looked them in the eyes, Deputy Collins, and I'm sure you would have told them you're going to do everything in the Dáil, and your councillors and your MEP or whatever else are going to do everything to help them get a home. Well, so am I. And that involves taking decisions in government. Not just defining the problem, not just saying which bandwagon will I jump on today. There's legitimate issues that the tourism sector have. We will work with them. We value them. We need them. It's an important part of our economy, not just in rural Ireland, but in all parts.
A 48-year-old man has been arrested in Strann as part of an investigation into dissident Republican activity. He was arrested under the Terrorism Act yesterday evening by detectives from the Terrorism Investigation Unit and taken to Musgrave Serious Crime Suite, where he is being questioned. A vehicle was also seized as part of the ongoing investigation. There were 134 complaints lodged to the Ombudsman regarding public services in Donegal last year. The Ombudsman's office hopes greater awareness of their work has contributed to the number of complaints received. Ombudsman Ger Deering was speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show.
Well, the schemes themselves did run into some difficulty, and we were receiving complaints about cross-border schemes. And as you say, they're particularly relevant to those of you who live closer to the border. But it was an issue for people right throughout the country, and indeed not just accessing services in Northern Ireland, but in other jurisdictions as well. So what we found was that the schemes were really being overly bureaucratically administered. So, for example, somebody in Donegal might access cataract surgery in somewhere in Northern Ireland. And they may have a very good neighbour, friend, son, daughter, whoever, who kindly would have brought them to that surgery. And at one stage, the HSE was looking for proof of travel. Now, if you have a good neighbour who kindly brings you there, they're not going to ask you for the money, usually, for the diesel or the petrol, or produce a receipt to you for the diesel or the petrol. So these kind of practicalities. But there were even more difficult issues arising. For example, if a referral letter wasn't properly signed, or if, depending on where the source of the money came from, people were finding that they went, had the surgery done in good faith, resolved their health issue, but then unfortunately ended up in debt.
Five Irish fish producing and processing organisations have united to demand change at national and EU level for this sector. The objective of the Killybegs Fisherman's Organisation, the Irish Fish Producers Organisation, the Irish Fish Processors and Exporters Association and the Irish South and West and South and East Fish Producers Organisation's collaboration is to raise awareness of the critical challenges impacting them. E. O'Donnell, CEO of the IFPO, says the organisations will fight for change in collaboration going forward.
We've had a problem in this sector in that there's been too much fragmentation of the industry, and this has weakened the sector considerably over a number of years. So there was a decision made by the five representative bodies to get together, to have a united and coherent lobby. We need to communicate better, we need to represent harder, we need to come together, and we need to demand change at national and EU level. So we spent a full day together as a collaboration recently to do that.
And do you hope that now, particularly the Marine Minister, his department and those who have the power to affect change within the fishing sector will listen to you?
Well, I think we have a coherent approach. We have a systematic way of going about things. We're here to try and map a sustainable future for the sector. And as part of that, we need to re-establish a liaison process with the Minister at both a national level, and we need to do the same at EU. We need to fight for change.
And this is indeed timely, given last week's local election. We have a new council coming in, we have new MEPs. So hopefully we can start off on the right foot here.
Yeah, we're quite hopeful that that can be done. But at the same time, it's really important that we get the public service in the department to work closely with us as well.
Police are currently at the scene of a crash on the Strabane Road. The road between Castle Derg and Ergana is closed following the collision which occurred this afternoon. Motorists are being advised to seek an alternative route. Ireland's housing policies are working and are being recognised internationally. That's according to the Housing Minister, who has welcomed the latest EY Euroconstruct report. Yesterday's survey found Ireland will have the strongest rate of housing completions this year among 19 European countries. Housing Minister Dara O'Brien says they want to keep the progress going.
You know, we're not being complacent at all. This is good progress. There's still many challenges there, but you know, housing for all has taken hold on the ground, is accelerating in its delivery, and you know, we're going to, you know, keep our foot to the pedal on this, keep delivering, and I'm quite confident that we're going to have a very significant year of housing delivery this year.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We're going to start with athletics, and the European Championships in Rome will come to an end tonight. Rashida Adeleke has been confirmed as part of Ireland's team for the women's 4x400m relay final, which will get underway just after 8 o'clock. With more on tonight's action, here's Will Downing.
Sophie Becker will start off for Ireland, handing to Rashida Adeleke, then Phil Healy, and wrapping up with Charlene Maudsley, whose brilliant surge to the closing straight of the semi-final saw Ireland move up from fourth to win. 10 finals with 3 of Irish interest. That relay is on at 8.05 Irish time, with the men's 10,000 metres final featuring 5 from Ireland at 8.45. Cormac Dalton, Ephraim Giddey, Brian Fay, Peter Lynch and Barry Keane, with Andrew Coscrin in the 1500 metres final at 9.25. Of the whole field is the 6th fastest time this year. Will Downing, Rome.
Adeleke's inclusion in tonight's final means the 21-year-old Dubliner will have the chance to win her third medal of the championships. Meanwhile, Ireland's latest European champion, Ciara McGeehan, was back training today. The Down native will fly out on Monday for altitude training as she ramps up preparation for the Paris Olympic Games. McGeehan claimed the 1500 metres gold medal in Rome on Sunday night, and she plans to focus more on training rather than competing over the next few weeks.
There'll be a couple of races dabbled in and out. I'll be dropping down from altitude to race them. I'll be in Well Nationals, and possibly Monaco Diamond League are on my plan. Monaco's always very good to me, so that'll be a nice race to get out to. There won't be a whole load, because I personally feel that for me, training into a championship is often the best way for me to get in good shape. So there'll be a few more races sprinkled in just to fine-tune the racing skills and blow the cobwebs a little bit before Paris.
On to soccer, and former Manchester United goalkeeper Mark Bosnich believes manager Erik ten Hag deserves another season in the job. Talks are reportedly underway over a contract extension after the board decided against replacing him. United finished 8th in the Premier League last campaign, making it their worst ever, but won the FA Cup last month against Man City at Wembley. Bosnich says ten Hag will have to start the next campaign strongly.
If something goes horribly wrong in that first 10 games, You know, I think that then that will be a time where Manchester United might look and say, oh, look, listen, we gave you the opportunity, but it hasn't really worked out to our liking.
Scotland midfielder Billy Gilmour says they're getting very excited for Friday's European Championship opener with Germany. Steve Clarke's side faced the hosts in the first group game of this summer's tournament. Scotland have never managed to reach the knockout stages of a major competition, but Gilmour hopes that's about to change.
To be part of the build-up and through the groups, it's been brilliant to be part of it, and now we're here and we want to make it one to remember, make history, try and get out of the group and see how far we can go.
Tottenham's record signing Tanguy Ndombele has been released from his contract a year ahead of schedule. A €62 million signing from Lyon in 2019, the French midfielder has been loaned to Lyon, Napoli and Galatasaray in successive seasons. Ndombele's last Spurs appearance came in January of 2022 in an FA Cup third round win over Morecambe. In tennis, Rafael Nadal has decided to skip Wimbledon next month to concentrate on playing for Spain at the Olympic Games. The two-time Wimbledon champion is to play Olympic doubles alongside Carlos Alcaraz on the clay of Roland Garros. The Spanish pair boast 25 Grand Slams between them, with Nadal winning the French Open title a record 14 times. Alcaraz won his first French Open title on Sunday. And finally, in basketball, Jerry West, the basketball icon whose silhouette still adorns the NBA logo, has died at the age of 86. West won the NBA championship with the LA Lakers in 1972 and moved from coaching into an executive role with the Lakers. He'd later hold similar positions at the Memphis Grizzlies, Golden State Warriors and the LA Clippers. That's it from the Sports Desk today. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. And returning to some news, nutrient pollution may result in a decline in water quality in Donegal. That's according to a new report from the EPA. The body has found that agricultural runoff and poorly treated human sewage are the main reasons there has been no improvement in Ireland's water quality. The EPA says improvements in some areas last year were offset with falling standards in others. Hugh Feely, the EPA scientific officer in the Water Management Programme, says human activity has a huge impact on water quality.
What we're seeing in Donegal is, if we look at the rivers, we've seen there's 139 rivers that we survey, and we've seen 19 declines and 25 improvements in the last few years. So this would be a net gain of 6. Now, while this is happening, where we're seeing improvements, we're also seeing declines, which is in many cases working against the improvements. And the biggest issues with regard to water quality is nutrient pollution from agriculture and wastewater. And without improvements in nutrient pollution, we won't see improvements in water quality. And the main problems are nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, entering our waterways predominantly from agriculture and wastewater treatment plants. We've approximately, the nitrogen is a big problem in the east and southeast of the country, whereas the phosphorus is an issue in rivers and lakes, especially along the border counties where soils are a little bit poorer. And over one third of our rivers and over one third of our lakes are suffering from phosphorus pollution. So there's a range of pressures from human activity impacting on water quality, and this ranges from everything from agriculture to wastewater, but also includes forestry and other issues like septic tanks. But the main issue is excessive nutrients coming from agricultural runoff and our wastewater treatment plants. And without reductions in these nutrients, we're not going to see improvements in water quality.
The ISPCA have launched a nationwide appeal for urgent foster homes for 24 ponies, donkeys and horses currently in their care. The organisation has limited isolation units and can't keep up with the number of animals needing their care. They're calling on anyone with spare stables or suitable field shelter who could take one in or more to contact them. Concerns have been raised over how EU laws aimed at preventing biodiversity loss will impact on farmers. The regional group of TDs is calling for more to be done to protect farmers' incomes. They're calling for a detailed plan to help implement targets set out in the EU nature restoration laws. Independent TD Michael Fitzmaurice says farmers are being given no choice.
They're now a farmer in a PC-type style, not their fault where they're born. No matter whether you're in the Golden Vale or whether you're from all peatside lands, you cannot shore it, you cannot plough it, and you cannot make any drain in it. You have to sign up to that. And what is the farmer? Because they're relying on the single farm payment, they'll have to adhere to it. So in other words, it's voluntary, but it's compulsory.
Meanwhile, researchers at the ATU are working to develop a digital tool that will assist farmers in meeting sustainability goals. Dr. Ulia Anton and Dr. Ceylan Garbia say the focus is on horticultural and tillage agricultural practices. The project is funded by Science Foundation Ireland through the National Challenge Fund and aims to make the lives of farmers easier in a time when workload and bureaucracy seems to be increasing. Dr. Anton says the development of the tool was done in collaboration with farmers.
We spent 6 months just to go to talk with the farmers to understand what are their needs, if our solution will be good for them, if it will help them. So we engage with them, we talk. Well, what about? And we found that, for example, there are farmers who are ordering some soil tests to see if there are suitable for the plant, and they are already using some application to monitor all other parameters of the farm.
Weather now, it will be dry this evening with a mix of cloud and hazy sunny spells. It will remain dry for much of tonight with clear spells to start, but cloud will gradually increase overnight. Lowest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Social Democrats candidate Rory Hearn has been eliminated after the 12th count in the Midlands Northwest constituency. It's now expected there won't be a final result in Castlebar until Friday. A man has been arrested in Donegal in connection with the murder of a police officer in Northern Ireland. The man in his 70s was arrested as part of a cross-border operation on foot of extradition warrants issued. Gardaí are continuing this evening to appeal for information on the whereabouts of a teenager missing from Letterkenny. 15-year-old Theo Devaney was last seen in the town yesterday morning. And nutrient pollution may result in a decline in water quality in Donegal. That's according to a new report from the EPA. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, June 12th. The death has taken place of Annette Gormley, Carnegarve, Moville. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has occurred of Philomena McColgan, Lagacurry, Isle of Doe, Clonmany. Remains will be reposing at her late residence this evening from 5:30 p.m. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 a.m, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Nan Doherty, Dewish, Ballybuffet, reposing at her home from 6 p.m. this evening. Funeral leaving from her home on Friday morning at 10:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, at 11 a.m. Interment in Stranorlar Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death took place on May 26, 2020, of Connell McMenamin, Manhattan, New York, and formerly of High Road, Letterkenny. Mass for the repose of his soul will take place in St. Noonan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 11 a.m. on Friday morning, which can be viewed live on Church Services TV, followed by interment of his ashes in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. The death has taken place of Patrick McCallion, Claggan, Culdaff. Patrick's remains are en route from Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, going to his home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St. Mary's Church, Boken, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral mass can be viewed live on culdaffparish.com. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Chest, Heart and Stroke Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.